والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I praise Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and I send peace and blessings to all of the prophets from the beginning of time. From the Prophet Adam to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Jesus, to Muhammad, the seal and finality of prophets and messengers, may Almighty God Allah have mercy upon them and forgive them forever. And I begin in the name of the righteous with the greetings of the people of paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The 21st century is an age of great material progress. Humanity has been able to develop the ability to move across the planet with great speed. We are communicating with each other with enormous amounts of information. But with this great technology, there are also great contradictions. With the ability to send information from one part of the planet to another, we also are finding great confusions amongst the people. We are finding nations attacking nations, people living in great tension, and one of the main reasons for this is ignorance. This series of programs is intended to bring untold stories from world history, gems of wisdom and knowledge, to try to bring about a new understanding, to heal some of the wounds, and to help the next generation to live in this world in peace. The story begins for me as a young African American growing up in a very powerful educational system. I questioned my teachers from an early age. I asked them questions concerning the contradictions that I saw within the pictures and the bits of information. One of the first questions that I asked from a young age was about the explorer Christopher Columbus. I was given an image of Christopher Columbus landing on the shores of America. He lands with his boats and his Spanish sailors, and he meets people on the shore. And the caption underneath in the picture says that Christopher Columbus discovered America. My question was to the teacher, how can you discover a place when the people have been living there for over 20,000 years? Was 1492 really the age of discovery? Was it the first time that human beings reached the Americas? The answer that I got was that yes, Columbus discovered America. And yes, it was in 1492. This, I recognized from a young age, was a form of cultural imperialism. It was dishonesty that had interpreted itself on a high level of knowledge. But I continued in my questions. I asked about the African continent. Did Africa have great civilizations? The answer was no. And I challenged this concept, because when we looked into history, we found great pyramids in Egypt, the Sphinx, hieroglyphics, philosophy. We looked down into the Niger River and we found Timbuktu and Djenne in great centers of learning. Going further south, we recognize the great Zimbabwe in South Africa. And in looking at the ancient Egyptians, we were taught that the great pyramids were developed and science was developed thousands of years before Christ. But the Greeks, who were given the glory of beginning knowledge and science only began their civilization somewhere around 600 BC. What was the real answer to my question? I continued on and I asked about the Moors and the Saracens that I was seeing in many of the movies. And Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi was shown as a great leader of the Muslims. He was a person who struggled as a warrior, but at the same time had high, noble qualities. And so when I found his name and others in the Arabic language constantly appearing in the text, I tried to question more and more concerning what actually was going on in history. Later on, I found that there was a need for a type of deconstruction, that history had to be taken apart and then reassembled in such a fashion that people would benefit from what had gone on in the past in a positive, objective way. Concerning Islam and the Muslims, when we look at the original sources, we find that Islam is a way of life that is shared by people throughout this planet. And that according to the teachings of Islam, prophets came to every nation and every tribe. In the text of the Quran, the book of scripture of the Muslims, in a chapter called Surah An-Nahl, the chapter of the bee, in verse 36, it says to us in the Arabic language, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْذُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ Almighty Allah reveals to us, and certainly we sent to every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah and avoid false deities. Of the people were some whom Allah guided, and of them were those upon whom error was decreed. So travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who denied the truth. In this verse, we see a text that gives us an understanding shared by Muslims all over the planet, that prophets came to Asia, to Africa, to Europe, and the Americas, and we learn from the original sources of Islam that what was common in the early peoples of the planet was the concept of Tawheed, the concept of unity and the oneness of God. In Mandarin Chinese, the people express this Tawheed by saying Shang Ti, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Akhenaten of ancient Egypt taught the belief in one God. Many say that he was teaching about the power behind the sun, and he created a revolution in ancient Egypt. In Africa, all throughout the African continent, the concept of the great cosmic spirit was shared by every nation. In Burundi, the people of Burundi, in speaking about God, say Imana. When they speak about the attributes of God, they say Bisabwe. He alone is worthy of worship. They also say Habimana. Only He truly exists. Habonimana, only He does as He wills. The Akan of West Africa know God as He who knows or sees all things. The Yoruba of West Africa say, only God is wise. The Bakongo of Central Africa say, He is made by no other and no one beyond Him is. In southern Africa, we find the Zulu nation, who refer to the Creator as Umdali. The Xhosa people of southern Africa say Qamata, and they add katayi or umdali, and it becomes qamata katayi, which means in Arabic, Allahu Akbar. God is the greatest and over everything. The Sutu people in the south say Ramasedi, which means he from whom comes light. In the Americas, there are strong references about the Cherokee Nation, a strong nation of people who had large cities with over 100,000 people. And they were known for their strong belief in the Great Spirit. Information has come to us that from the texts or the oral traditions of the elders, when the Cherokees would begin their prayers, they would say, Ya Allah. And so we find in the Aboriginal people in Australia, in South America, in Europe, and throughout the world, the concept of Tawheed, the concept of the Great Spirit, is found everywhere. So when the last Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, appeared, he did not bring a new religion, but he brought out of the people what already existed in them, and that is Tawheed. He was the seal of the prophets, the finality of the messengers. And it is reported during his last major sermon in Arafah, he brought to the people a strong message of the oneness of God. He also spoke to them and brought them the understanding that there should be no more economic oppression and that usury and interest is cancelled. He confirmed the rights of women. He broke down the roots of racism. And he established the Quran and the Sunnah, his way and his tradition, as the keys to success. He sent his followers in all directions. And it is reported that most of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, died outside of Arabia. When we look at history, we find that no other religion, no other ideology, no conquering general, no people spread so rapidly and so far. Within 100 years, Islam had reached the Atlantic Ocean on the west and China and the Pacific in the east. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought a message that was so clear and was so simple to the people that they were able to grasp this oneness. They were able to relate to the prophets and messengers who had come from the beginning of time. And so Islam spread rapidly, and people of all colors, of all nationalities, embraced this religion from the 6th century. People of all classes, the rich and the poor, male and female, came into this faith in large numbers, and Islam established itself, not only in Arabia, but it established itself in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, and we also have proof that it was even in the Americas. Let's take a break for a few moments, and we'll come back to continue our discussion.
Sheikh Asim, can you tell us the significance of this event, the washing of Al-Kaaba in Islam?
A great privilege to any Muslim to take part in such a ritual. Honoring the sacred shrines of Islam was a custom before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was the last of a long series of messengers. He received the message in the Arabian Peninsula in Arabic, but yet it was intended for the people throughout the planet. In one of his authentic traditions, he is reported to have said, "Inna Allaha zawa li al-ard, faraitu masharikaha wa magharibaha, wa inna mulka ummati sayablughu ma zuya li minha." The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Verily Allah showed me the expanses of the earth. I saw the east and the west, and he informed me that the possessions of my nation would reach as far as I saw." And so the Muslims left the Arabian Peninsula and continued to travel deep into the east and deep into the west. They went into the north and deep down into the south. Islam spread so rapidly within 100 years that historians up until today are baffled at how human beings could carry a message through so many different climates and through so many different nations. But if we look at the divine purpose, if we look at the essence of what was really happening, the factors behind this, we can see how it is very logical that Islam could have spread. Number one, in the concept of Tawheed that the Muslims were carrying, the focus was always upon unity. The focus was upon inclusion. And when Tawheed is being used, it refers not only to the oneness of God, but also the oneness of humanity, that we are all from one human family. Tawheed also includes the oneness or the unity of knowledge. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was reported to have said, "Al-hikmah dalat al-mu'min, aynama wajadaha, fahuwa ahakku biha." The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Knowledge is the lost property of the believer. Anywhere he finds it, he is the most deserving of it." And so with this, Muslims benefited from the knowledge of the ancient Egyptians, of the ancient Assyrians, the ancient Indians, and the ancient Chinese, the ancient Europeans. They brought together knowledge from all over the planet Earth. Another issue of importance is the very nature of the language they were speaking and the language of the final revelation. The Arabic language is a language that is structured in such a way that it has an enormous vocabulary. And when we speak about many basic concepts, there are many ways to express yourself. Arabic also gives the speaker the ability to use the throat, the palate, all parts of the mouth. So when the Arabs left the Arabian Peninsula, they were able to learn languages rapidly because the whole of their mouth and their throats and every part of their speaking organ was usable. Another issue that affects the rapid spread of Islam is the Arabian horse. The Arabian steed is the fastest horse in the world. Not only was it a fast horse, but also it is a high-spirited horse. And so this horse was able to travel long distances and able to face tremendous, and it gave the Muslims the ability to travel long distances in a short period of time. Another important animal was the camel. With the camel, Muslims were able to cross vast deserts and able to reach lands that were almost impossible to reach in the past. Along with this, the Arabs had mastered the seas. And historians report that Muslims had reached Japan long before the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is reported by historians that one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Uqba ibn Nafi', radiallahu an, reached the Atlantic Ocean, and when he reached the ocean, he looked across. And he said, "If I knew there was land across you, I would take this message. He also went south and he reached Lake Chad. The Muslims went down into the East African coast. They found a base of operations called Maqad Shah. It was the base of the Persian emperor. And so they called it Mogadishu. They came into in a set of islands where the moon was very bright. And so they called them Juzur al-Qamar, the islands of the moon. And now we know Juzur al-Qamar as Comoros Islands. Musa ibn Baig developed a colony on the East African coast. And so Musa ibn Baig becomes Mozambique. Yusuf Ali develops a colony, and Yusuf Ali becomes Sofala. The Arabs went into the Indian Ocean, and using the dhow, they were moving their boats with what they called Hubble. And Hubble today is the cable. They used the astrolabes. And when they came into the Indian Ocean, they found a season of rains, a mosim of great rains. So mosim becomes monsoons. They wrote books of information, travel guides to help people in the seas, and they called it almanach. Today we call it almanacs. They continued on, and Arabic began to spread and influence people so much that by the year 1930, Walt Taylor recorded approximately 1,000 words in the English language of Arabic origin. This was in his book, Arabic Words in English. Muslims made a profound impact on the world for over 1,000 years between the 7th and the 17th century. One of the strangest reports is a book describing the earth, describing different continents. It was written in the year 820 AD. The author of this text was Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khawarizmi. He set up a series of maps. One of the maps contained the Indian Ocean, and another, surprisingly enough, contained the Pacific Ocean. The Arabic writing on the top reads as follows. It says, "This map shows a large area of land surrounded by dark, stormy seas. You don't know its beginning from its end." Actually, Al-Khawarizmi was writing about Australia. And this is the oldest map of Australia in existence. It is now in the Strasbourg Library in Europe. And by the 10th century, another famous map maker, Abu Ishaq al-Farisi al-Istikhari, in the year 934, had drawn a map showing not only the details of the north coast of Australia, but he also showed details of Japan between Kobe and Tokyo. To add to this, even the ancient Aboriginal people of Australia recorded the journeys of early Arab merchants. And we find writings drawn by Aboriginal people in Australia that show two-masted Arab dhows in caves on the Stanley Island in Princess Charlotte Bay. This is in the northern Queensland in Australia. And so Muslims were able to travel to many parts of the planet. Information has even come to the surface that Muslims traveled across the Pacific Ocean. And they were able to reach islands, a set of islands, where there was a lot of wind. And so, according to the findings of a Harvard University professor, they called these islands Juzur al-Hawa. It was the island of a lot of wind. And so Juzur al-Hawa becomes Hawaii. They find pearls in one of the islands. And In Arabic, the word for pearl is lu'lu. In some pronunciations, lulu. And so on the map, it points and it says, Huna lulu. Today we say, Honolulu. It is shocking to find in ancient maps so many Arabic words. Even in the United States, we find the word Mecca and Medina used over and over again. On one journey, we descended into the southern part of California, and we found a city called Mecca, California. And it had beautiful date palm trees, and it had some relics and some evidence of the presence of Muslims and Arabic-speaking people. But the people were gone, and the relics and the name remained. Similarly, we find along the coastlines in Central America, we find Arabic names. We find the presence of Muslims coming from West Africa. When we travel into Brazil, we find the presence of Muslims. We find words like Rasif, meaning a coast or a sidewalk, being used in Brazil, and Arabic names. We find even in the Caribbean region a group of people who related to themselves as being Arabic-speaking people who came from the coast of West Africa. And so in many parts of the world, we find the presence of Muslims and Arabic-speaking people. This is a shock for many historians, because people are still caught up with the fact, or with what appeared to be the fact, that Christopher Columbus discovered America. Our reality is something very different. Christopher Columbus bumped into America on his way to India. And it is reported in his memoirs that he intended to meet the great Khan of India. His navigator, Rodrigo de Triana, could speak the Arabic language. He expected to meet the great Khan. And he bumped into a set of islands, and his son eventually went on to the coastline and went on to the mainland. And what happened after that was a genocide. We would like to look at history not only from the point of view of Europe, but from the point of view of all of the peoples of this planet. These are some of the untold stories from world history. These are some of the gems of wisdom that we pray will bring about a world of peace and understanding. I leave you in peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.